Okay. I was blessed with the worship this morning. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Is that where each one of us are at? Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And also, it is well with my soul. One day, the clouds shall be rolled back like a scroll. The trumpets shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Trust that is where each one of us are at. The title of the message, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. I feel like Aaron has put some shoe leather to what I wanted to share this morning. So thank you for sharing, brother. Appreciate it. I did bring a kerosene light this morning. So it is. So what's the main ingredients that you need for a light to burn? Fuel. That there needs to be a source, right? There needs to be a source enable for it to burn. And for this light, it's kerosene or lamp oil. Like without that inside, you could try to light it and nothing would happen, right? Because there's no source there for it to light up. And same with electricity, you can have a light, but as long as you don't plug it into the source, the light really does nothing for you. It could be a beautiful light and whatever, but as long as it's not plugged into the source, it's just like something that you can look at and it really does nothing for you. Especially when it's pitch dark, you can't enjoy the light because you can't even see it because it's not connected to the source. So, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. So this message came, and a couple of weeks ago, Dave was leading the worship, and you were asking for selections. And as I was pacing through the Christian hymnal, I came across this song. I know we had sung it here before, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And I was reminded of the history of that song because Murph is the one that usually selected it, and he usually gave a history of that song. And as I was just meditating on that, I was like, wow, it's a powerful message. Let the lower lights be burning. There are souls out there that need to see the light, otherwise they will perish. Let me just read some of the backdrop of that. All along America's east and west shoreboard, the Gulf Shore, and along the Great Lakes regions, lighthouses stood on the shore of the major harbors. We all seen the lighthouse, right? At one point of our lives, we've been at the ocean side or the Gulf side, and we see a lighthouse. Obviously, with everything that the ships have on board now, the lighthouses are useless. They don't necessarily serve their purpose anymore like they would have years ago before GPS, navigation, or whatever else they use. But back in the time, they were a very vital instrument used to bring ships safely to shore. And then along with the lighthouses, there were also lure lights to guide the ships into the harbor. With each nearing storm, the lighthouse keeper would painstakingly go from lantern to lantern, filling and lighting each light. So just like the kerosene light, they'll go along and just fill, make sure that each light had fuel in it, and then light each light as before the storm came in. When there were large rocks near the shore, the lure lights helped the pilots to steer clear of them at night. The lure lights were placed along the shore at even intervals. If a ship was coming in harbor at night, the pilot would see the evenly spaced lure lights, and if there was a gap in the reflection of the lights, that means there was a large rock between the ship and the entrance to the harbor. Then the pilot would avoid sailing into these dark areas, knowing that rocks blocked the lights from showing across the waves. So back in the 1870s, D.L. Moody preached a message one night based on the lighthouse keeper neglected to light those lamps and the outcome of that. So one stormy night on Lake Erie, the winds were howling, the rain was relentless. The waves rolled like mountains, and not a star in the skies could be seen. A ship was rolling with the huge waves and trying to make its way into Cleveland Harbor. At last, the captain saw the lighthouse for Cleveland Harbor, but he could not see the lure lights. Which, in defense of the lighthouse keeper, he was like, this is a major storm. There's no way there's any ships out there trying to get in. I mean, it's just not possible. The ship can't come in anyhow. So why go through the bother of lighting the lamp? Because it's useless. But anyhow, the captain said to the pilot, is that Cleveland Harbor? And the pilot responded, yes, sir, it is Cleveland Harbor. Where are the lure lights? The captain asked. They must have gone out, sir, said the pilot. Can you make it into the harbor without the lure lights? Asked the captain. We must, sir, or we will perish in the storm, was the pilot's reply. So with a strong hand and a brave heart, the pilot turned the ship's wheel towards the Cleveland Harbor. But the ship missed the channel and crashed into the rocks. The boat sank, and over 200 people lost their lives that night because of one man neglecting to do his duty, because of one man thinking it's no use laying the lights tonight. There's nobody out there anyhow looking for a way to come in. A young man by the name of Philip Bliss read with horror the headlines and how one man's neglect had been so deadly. Later, Mr. Bliss heard the evangelist D.L. Moody referring to the tragedy in his sermon. Mr. Moody closed with, brethren, the master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lure lights burning to guide men to safety to him. Mr. Blitz told a friend afterwards, when I heard Mr. Moody use this illustration in a sermon last night, I cried out in my heart, Blitz, you are as guilty as the man in the story. As a Christian, you are one of the lure lights shining brightly so that some poor soul tossed on the sea of life may find safety and everlasting life in the haven that God has prepared. Within a week, Mr. Blitz had written to him, let the lure lights be burning, which is Psalm number 193 in the hymnal. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Which D.L. Moody referred to lighthouse as God's light shining out to draw men to himself, but then the lure lights as Christians to help guide the way into the harbor. Let the lure lights be burning. Send a gleam across a wave. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Verse 2, dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lure lights be burning. Send a gleam across a wave. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lights, my brother. Some poor seaman tempted toss. Try now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. And let the lure lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. It's a sad story, right? Because of one man's neglect, 200 souls perished that night. So I was curious if that was historical, being used as the lure lights. So I looked it up online and said, many harbors historically used lure lights to guide ships into port safely, especially at night. These were smaller lamps or lanterns placed along the shoreline to supplement the main larger lighthouse beacons. This practice was famously described in the 1971 hymn, Let the Lure Lights Be Burning, inspired by a real account. Then the functions of the lure lights. Lure lights also has known as leading or range light, serves as a critical purpose in navigation. They were marked safe channels, especially when there was a narrow or rock passage, and lights were set up at even intervals, and the ships would know as long as they could see the evenly spaced lights, they were in the safe part of the channel. They identified obstacles. The reflection of the lure lights appeared broken or dark, or a dark gap appeared, it indicated that a rock or a large obstacle lay between the vessel and the entrance, and then the pilot would steer away from the dark areas to avoid a conclusion. Then they would provide alignment clues, which a pair of there was another one, like some areas would have like two lighthouses, one large lighthouse and one small lighthouse. Then the ships would be able to line those two lighthouses up, and as long as they were lined up with them, they could safely navigate the waters and come safely into the harbor. Then they would also be used as to guide the smaller vessels, like the fishing communities. They would set out the lure lights to guide smaller vessels away from the rocky shore and towards a safe landing place. In the United States in late 19th centuries, range lights were used in harbors across the country from the coast to the Great Lakes. And in Europe, they were dated as far back as 1763. So what do we do with the light? We hide it under a bushel, right? Or we put it underneath the bed. You may speak. We let it shine. The light wouldn't be worth much if I would like put it underneath the pulpit, right? Nobody could see the light. But you set it on a lampstand where everybody can see the light, where it shines force like it's supposed to shine force. You don't hide it underneath something or put it underneath a bed or things like that, but you set it somewhere where it does what it's supposed to do, where it gives light. Mark 4:21-23. Also he said to them, Is the lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hid that shall not be revealed, nor is there anything kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So the question is asked, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? I want to look at a couple of points. Point number one is God created light. God created light. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and darkness he called night. So evening and morning were the first day. God created light, and God said that the light was good. Point number two is, Jesus is the light. Psalms 27:1 is a Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then Isaiah 9:2, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwell in the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Jesus is the light. Isaiah 61:3, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings of the brightness to your rising. Then Isaiah 60:19-20, the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for the brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory. Your sun should no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the day of your mourning shall be ended. Again, Jesus is the light. Micah 7:8, therefore I will look to the Lord, I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light which giveth light to every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave him the rights to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. That was the true light. Just look at that a little bit more. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This referring to John came as a witness to that light, but he was not that light. Jesus is that light. And Jesus also is referred as the Word. The Word was with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thought of Psalms where it talks about, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Again, referring to Jesus Christ as the Word. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We all want that, right? We want to walk in the light. We don't want to walk in darkness. We don't want to stumble. We don't want to because of the darkness, but rather we want to walk in the light as he is in the light. John 12:44-46. Then Jesus cried and said to him, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him that sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I am come as the light to the world, that whosoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So Jesus came as the light to the world, and whosoever believes in Jesus shall not walk in darkness. First Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In 1 John 1, 5 to 7, this is the message that you have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we walk in the light, as he, Jesus, is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Revelation 23 and 24. The city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The Lamb, Jesus, is its light. And the nations of those who are saved will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. So walk in his light, because he is the light. Then point number three is, we are the light, or a light. Which Isaiah 57, 58:7-9. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you may bring to your home, to your house, the poor that who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall spring forth like the morning. Your healing shall spread forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, and the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness. Aaron had spoken about this. Is it not to share the bread with the hungry, when you bring into your house the poor that are cast out? Then your light will spring forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. When there's a light set on a hill, you can see it from far off, especially like a lighthouse. When it sends its beams across the distance, I mean, it can be seen from miles and miles because of the bright light shining. And it's saying here, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. Matthew 13:43, and the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And John 10:35-36, Jesus said to him, A little while longer the light is with you. Walk where you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, and ye shall become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Then Philippians 2:15-16, that ye may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that ye may rejoice in the day of Christ, and I have not run in vain or labored in vain. For ye were once darkness, Ephesians 5:8. For ye were once darkness, but now ye are lights in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Then point four, light is not meant to be hidden. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Then verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it may give light to those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So let your light so shine before men. So how do we keep our lights burning? Any ideas? Stay connected to the source. You have to have a source in order for light to come forth, right? Any others?
By walking in the light,
by walking with Jesus Christ, right? Because Jesus is the light, and as we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, it flows through us. Anybody else? I also brought an electric light along this morning. Figured it might people might know better what an electric light is instead of a kerosene light. But as we look at this light, I mean, it's nice, right? It reflects. It's nice to look at, right? I mean, just imagine it to be like a beautiful lamp. But if it would be dark in here, you couldn't see what I would be holding, right? Because it's useless, because it's not connected to the source. It has to be connected to the source in order for it to do what it's supposed to do. So when we... So now we can see it more, right? It brings, especially with the reflection, you can see the light. Which before you just looked at it and it's just like, it's really useless because it doesn't produce any light because it's not connected to the source. And neither do you and I. If we're not connected to the source, meaning Jesus Christ, we can try to do all kinds of good things. We can try to do, like help the poor. We can try and even accomplish some good things. But it doesn't have lasting value because it's not connected to the source. It's not connected to Jesus Christ. It's not flowing from life. So the key is it needs to be connected in order for the light to come, to spring forth, in order for the light to come forth. And same as the kerosene light, it's the same concept. If there's no source within, if there's no kerosene within the light, that light won't burn. It needs to have a source for it to operate from. So we can try to be a light on our own strengths, right? We can even accomplish many great things. But for what? Matthew 7:21 is a very sobering couple of verses. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" That's very sobering, is it not? Very sobering. I mean, according to that, they did many, many wonderful things. They cast out demons. They prophesied. They did many wonders in the name of Christ. And I would assume some of the wonders would be that they healed the sick and those type of things. But Christ had to say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness." So the key is we need to be connected to the source. It does matter how we live our lives. It does matter who the source is, who we are connected to. Had to think of the song, Channels Only. Channels only, blessed Master, with all thy wondrous power. Flow through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Just a channel to flow through us. Because of Christ, what he has done for us, because of his power working within us, we can love one another. It's just channels that flow through us. I'm going to play a song, The World's Bible.
Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other things than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his life would spurn? How can we hope to help him and welcome his return?
Sobering, is it not? God uses each one of us as his hands and his feet to guide people to himself. And what if we are out there doing our own things? What if we are out there in sin, and therefore our light is not shining at all because we're not connected to the source? So does it matter? Does it matter what we do in life? Does it matter to who we are connected to? Does it matter to who we get our enjoyment from? Is it okay to go our own way and do what we want to do? Or does Christ have a mandate upon our lives to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works? We are entrusted with responsibilities. Just as the captain and crew depended upon the lighthouse keeper, people are depending on us. Are we showing responsibility by shining for Christ in this dark world? Are we sharing the way with people who are drowning in sin? Do we have a compassion for people that are drowning in sin? Do we keep our lights shining so they may find peace in Christ Jesus? A couple quotes from C.S. Lewis. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. I believe in Christianity just like the sun has risen, not just because we can see the sun, but because by the sun's light we can see everything else. And therefore, because also by Christianity. We cannot see light, but through light we see things. And the point he's making that we actually don't see light, but we can see everything else because of light, and the light is shining. When a man gets better, he understands more and more clearly the evil that's still left in him. When a man gets worse, he understands his own badness less and less. So when a man gets better, that's also a quote by C.S. Lewis. Let your lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamps, my brother. Some poor seaman tempted toss. Try now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. I had to think back at my life when I was in sin. There's a lot of things that I did in the cover of darkness rather than in the light. And I guess my encouragement for each one of us, maybe we walk in the light. Maybe we walk in that light of Jesus Christ. And a light shine forth to help others that are in need. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you that you are the light of the world. We thank you that we can walk in that light. We thank you that you loved us so much, that you gave your life, that whosoever believeth in you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, that it's not your will that any should perish, but it's your will that everyone should come to the knowledge of you, Lord Jesus. That everyone would repent and serve you with their whole heart, soul, and mind. So, Father, as we depart from here this morning, I pray that you will continue to empower us to walk in the light as you are in the light. If there's anyone here that's struggling with sin this morning, I pray, Father, that they would repent and come to that light, to come to your light. And Lord, and I also pray for each one that is born again here this morning, that your light would shine through us, that it can be a testimony, it can be a blessing to others that are seeking for a better way. So, Father, we just commit this morning to you. I pray that your anointing, your power would be upon each one, that you would give us the power to do what's right. Lord, that your love would flow through us, that your light would shine through us. Lord, we just commit this morning to you. In Jesus' name, amen.